one of our elders, who is also our youth pastor of Wildfire, just amazing things going on with our teenagers, amazing things. And so much of it's because of Jesus through Todd and Karina both. But I would like you to please welcome welcome Todd Lout. Honor him.
That would be the teenagers back there, some of them. Oh, I start every youth meeting with prayer over everybody. I want to do that right now too. I just thank you for your best, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. Holy Spirit, come and fall on everybody. Come and saturate us. God, let this river continue to flow, and let it flow fast, and let us go. And go where you're going, God. Let us be with you, God. Let us let loose of anything that's weighing us down and keeping us at the bottom. God, we want to flow with you. We love you. Holy Spirit, fall on us. Be on us. Come and fulfill your promises in us. We thank you. You're the God who does this. We say yes to that. And you say yes. Oh God, I thank you for everybody here. I ask for fire in my mouth. And I ask for ears that hear what you want to say. Thank you, God. So be it. I do want to share a quick testimony. First, a lot of you were praying for my dad. My dad, about 2 months ago now, was told that he had pancreatic cancer. And It was awful news coming from my mom calling me. And so he had this, he had a lot of pain. He had this, it was found out that there was this mass, and come to find out it was that. And a lot of you were praying for him. But rarely is this kind of cancer found in time to get it all. But that's what they told him they think is going to happen. So he's already had surgery, and they did get it all. And this guy's got more to do. I'm telling you, that's for sure. He's got an awesome destiny. But not only did they get it all, but he's gone and researched people who've gone through this. He's visited some strangers in the hospital that are going through this right now to go minister to them because he feels so blessed. He wrote this awesome poem called Why Me, but not the whiny kind of why me. It's the why would God do all this awesome stuff for me type of why me. It's the neatest thing. And the recovery, he met a guy who had a successful surgery with this. If you don't know anything about pancreatic cancer, a lot of the time, more often than not, it's pretty much a death sentence if you find out you have this. But he did meet one guy who had a successful surgery, and it took him a year to recover from the surgery. My dad had this surgery less than a month ago. He is walking around. He goes, "It's weird. I just don't feel pain. It's bizarre." You know, he's singing. He just recorded a song for somebody. He's an awesome singer, and it's astounding what God's doing. So I just wanted to share that. He's turning it into blessing other people. It's awesome. When I was asked to preach on this night, instantly I kept hearing this phrase that comes from Ephesians: "What is the hope of your calling?" In fact, I kept hearing it, and it's a phrase I'm very familiar with already, so I didn't really put it together that I think I'll just talk about that until it just kept driving in me, you know? And I do want to say it's interesting, too, in Ephesians 1, which we're going to jump into in a minute, and it says, "What is the hope of your calling?" Some versions say, "What is the hope of his calling?" It's all one and the same. It really is. But I want to read a couple fun things to you, too. Let's see. I have so many notes. There's no. I have 10,000 things I'm going to miss telling you tonight. So the Holy Spirit's just going to have to guide me with what he wants said here. But, okay, so on Facebook this morning, I put on there, what is the hope of your calling? And I got some fun answers, and I just thought I'd read a couple to you. One of them was my friend Tim in Texas, and he said, well, I just use my finger and dial the correct number, hoping I got it right, therefore calling the person with whom I wish to speak. That's a funny friend I used to work with in Texas. I have this awesome friend, Tracy, who lives up in Anchorage. I used to work with her at a Christian bookstore many, many years ago. She said, Todd, your friend Tim is very funny. And then she said, I just wrote in my blog about this last night. The hope of my calling is for the sovereign Lord to please give me wisdom so that I know what to say to all the weary ones, along with all the rest. Realizing this can only be accomplished by more of the Holy Spirit, more of the Spirit of the Lord. So my calling is, come Holy Spirit. With hope-filled expectancy, I wait for him to pour out more of himself on me. That sounds really good. That sounds about right to me. Michael Skinner from Blazing Fire Church, he wrote, I think the hope of my calling has something to do with my wife because her name is Hope. So I thought, dude, you just targeted your wife for something. Come here, Hope. This is Hope Skinner. And sometimes when, you know, if somebody flips me off on the road, they actually make themselves a target for blessing. Because I'm like, oh, cool, you know, bless them. Or just give them truth, God, or whatever. Or if somebody makes even a joke like I think has to do with my wife, Hope, it also makes them a target for blessing. So I thought, okay, her name is Hope. Hope is a cool word. We're going to talk about that word in a second. But since her name is Hope and her husband made a big deal about her, I just thought, let's just bless Hope with prayer real quick. Want to? Let's have three of you who are getting a word for Hope right now to come right over here and line up and just give. We're just taking a little side trip here for a second. To three of you right here to give Hope. And we're going to pray for Hope. So let's extend our hands. This is a place to bless people, right? So we thank you for Hope, God. Thank you for the hope of her calling, which is you. And we thank you, God, for blessing Hope right now. I ask, God, that you just plant your heart in three people to give her a blessing word right now. I ask God for the very best for Hope. I ask God that she will go deeper in your truth than she's ever thought she could. Deeper in the river than she ever thought she could, God, that she's freer than she ever imagined she'd be, ever. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I thank you for fire on Hope. Thank you, God. Fill her household with more fire and more truth. Thank you, God. So be it. All right, I know there's three of you getting a word for Hope. Okay, come on.
I just saw doors opening. And I felt like I even saw a door, like a window crashing through. And I felt like the Lord's going to start to open things that you've been waiting for. Felt like you've been in a waiting season. And it's been a long season. And it felt like you've been in a boat drifting. And I saw the Lord say, now it's the time to breathe. And I saw him breathing over your sails and picking you up and opening the doors that you've been waiting for. Amen.
I heard the word just now, window of opportunity, and that the windows of heaven are open for new opportunities for you to just flow right into.
As you walked up, I saw an evangelist So there's a mantle coming down out of heaven to rest on your shoulders as an evangelist.
Looking at you just now, I saw you studying the word. But it's kind of interesting because I also saw a quill, old-style fountain pen in an ink bottle. And I feel that as a result of that, that feather symbolizes heaven. So that goes right with what that brother was talking about. I feel that as you start reading the word, and the scripture says study to show yourself approved. And there's going to be a dimension of heaven that's going to come in revelation of the word.
That was a bonus word right there.
And I bless you all with hope, because hope does not disappoint, for the love of God is shed abroad in their hearts.
Okay, so maybe that wasn't unorthodox for preaching a message, but we're going to talk a little bit about unity too, and we're supposed to bless each other. We're supposed to open our mouth and sing words of blessings to each other. Crazy, huh? Imagine if we did that all the time. Somebody might come in this service tonight and think, what a weird place. But what if we all did what the Bible said here and started singing hymns to each other all the time? Yes. Oh, goodness. Wow, there we go. Keep confessing that, bro. All right, here's another one. Sandy Sindifer, Send the Fire. In answer to what of the hope you're calling, she said, living mine in its pure joy. Come join me. And then I love what Lisa Ann here wrote today. I want to mention this. She said, ooh, is that what you're going to talk about? What a rich passage. Big, big feast. The hope of his calling always reminded me of a teenage girl sitting by the phone. But the call and the hope that comes from its beautiful revelation of who he is and understanding of who we are to him, the revelation or the relationship and intimacy of being in him. Good night. I got her message and I was like, wait, let me get my pen. So, goodness gracious. I wanted to read those on purpose because it's fun. Also because in our culture here, it's awesome to hear everybody preach. Everyone's got a part, a piece to a message, and that proves it right there. You know what I mean? It's so beautiful to me. All right. All right, I have so much here, but Holy Spirit, just come fill my mouth. All right, the hope of your calling is Jesus. All right, the hope of your calling is Jesus. That may sound maybe to someone a little bit disappointing because you want to hear the hope of your calling is you're going to be some, you know, evangelist who gets a million saved, which hopefully that's the case, you know? Or you might want it to be that you produce a cool new TV show. Maybe that's the case too. But the hope of your calling is Jesus. We're going to dive into him. The hope of your calling is Jesus. It is the Christ. And the word Christ is the anointed one and his anointing. That's what the word Christ means. It's not his last name. That's what it means. It means his anointing. He's yummy. He's very delicious. So if you start to look at Jesus... start to look at Jesus... And there's a whole lot, a whole bunch, It's not disappointing whatsoever. It's not. All it is just shifting the way you think. It's shifting your mind and turning your mind into a place where there's actually life like crazy. All right? I want to describe to you what the word hope means and calling. Cool? Anyone in here ever say the word hope as a negative word before? I hope not. Like that? I hope I'm not going to get a cold. I hope I'm not, you know. We downplay that word sometimes. But check this out. In Scripture, hope always respects something future and signifies far more than a mere wish that is realized. It sets forth a confident expectation that will be realized. I'm going to read to you something in Psalms here, Psalm 16, verse 5. It says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. This is David talking. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. The hope of your calling is the inheritance of Jesus's, and that you are his inheritance too. I praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also rests secure. That word secure right there is key here. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. The Holy One is me. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. The way David's talking here is hope. That's he's saying, you're going to do this. Thank you. That is hope. Which also sounds like faith, doesn't it? But that's hope. That's what hope means. It's a glorious expectancy. So when we talk about what is the hope of your calling, this is an awesome thing. This is a sure thing. This is your calling is absolutely sure. Okay? And then the word calling. I want to read something to you here. Unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. This is Proverbs 8:4. Many are called, but few are chosen. That external call through the Scriptures is addressed to human responsibility and meets with universal rejection. This means God is calling us to an awesome glory, okay? And some people say no, but some people say yes. So what is the hope of your calling? You got to have a yes, all right? I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. This is Proverbs 1:24. Come, for all things are now ready, and they all with one consent begin to make excuse. Isn't that sad? I mean, that doesn't sound very fun right there. He is calling and people said no. That's not us, right? I want to say something about how we think some things. I've heard it said. I've said this many times, and I feel like God is just cleaning me up all the time. And the further we go with him, we're going to start thinking a little more clearly and a little more differently. And what I'm talking about is this. Like, I hope, you know, that I'm going to be stronger next year than I am today. That is a very noble thought. It's true, and that's a good thing to hope, because we should be going from glory to glory to glory, right? But then to get to next year and start comparing yourself and weighing out, am I better than I was before? Am I doing okay? Am I gonna... This absolutely makes it so difficult to just walk in the love of God. better to just wake up every day with a big yes inside of you. And there, you don't have to worry about that anymore. A big yes. Does that make sense? Just wake up in the morning. He's offered us so much. He says, here, have my glory. Here, have forgiveness. Here, have what was done on the cross. And all you have to do is wake up in the morning and say yes. And I know you wake up sometimes and you don't feel like a big yes is over your head. But just before you go to bed, say, I'm going to wake up with a yes. Yes? Yes. Yes. I want to hear that word right now. Yes. That's a good word. Unless people are constantly asking you to do stuff. Then you say no, so I could say yes to the Lord more often. Yes? Okay. Anyway. our calling is to know Jesus. There's so much there. We are joint heirs with Jesus. And it's outrageous. He is the Son of God Himself, and we are joint heirs with Him. Okay? So if we say yes, Jesus is the hope of our calling, then we step into this calling, and we're going to do life differently than we did before. And even if we stumble one day and don't, we still have the next hour or the next day. This is the hope of our calling. The hope is that we're going to go there. We really are. We're going to do it. Just like David said to the Lord here, you're going to bless me. You're going to do this. So we will do the same with our hope. I am in Christ. I am. I am in Jesus. I am going to look at Jesus today. Heard this awesome quote come out of my wife's mouth, I think she heard it somewhere. So awesome. If you don't see him, Jesus, he becomes like you. Chew on that for a second. If you don't see him, he becomes like you. But if you start looking at him, you look like him. Isn't that cool? That's really yummy stuff. Therefore, we become more joyful. He knows what joy is. He even endured the cross because of the joy set before him. Okay? There was Pharisees and Sadducees who were the religious leaders of the day, but they seemed like they were miserable because they were doing all the weighing all the time. Like, did I do enough of this? Did I do enough of that? And they actually didn't even know Jesus themselves. What if they all knew him? You know, what if they actually knew him and said yes every morning? History would be rewritten. It would be completely different than this. But they're so blind. The Sadducees were sad, you see. Sorry. our occupation in life? Stare at Jesus. Does that sound like a cop-out? Does that sound like a cop-out? It might to somebody who is a worker bee, you know? And it's really okay to... It's very okay to do good works. In fact, we're called to do good works. But that's only through Jesus. I have a friend who... A young teenage friend or 20-year-old friend who is at Bible College down in Los Angeles area. And he just wrote me 2 weeks ago and said he's got a lot of questions. And he said, how come in Ephesians it says that we've got salvation and it's a free gift without work? And then later on in Matthew 25, it talks about the sheep and the goats, how they didn't do this, they didn't do this, they didn't do this, and therefore depart from me, you know? He goes, I want to know what you think about that. Every question about biblical things, to me, the answer is intimacy with God. It is. You just actually can't get away from that. To be in Jesus, to look at Jesus. The answer is, it is a free gift. You don't have to work for it. I told him, I said, Pastor Brent... Pastor Brent loves me and sees something in me and invited me to work for Blazing Fire, you know, and that was for free. I didn't have to do a bunch of button pushing, you know, I didn't have to go through, you know, years of classes. God spoke to his heart and he invited. That was for free. But if now I'm part of Blazing Fire, you know, Blazing Fire has a set of core values. If I were completely outside of those core values all the time, walking all the time outside of that thing and not acting them out, then I really just don't even know what I'm doing here in the first place. And it's not going to work out, right? That's the answer to that question. If you come with this free gift to salvation, which is through grace, then you are going to know Jesus. This is the hope of your calling. And Jesus feeds the poor. He loves on people. He sets the captives free. It's just going to be part of what you do. That's why he said, if you didn't do this, I didn't know you. That's why. It's not because he's mean. It's just simply because didn't know you. You didn't know him, right? That's the answer to that. There is so much power in Jesus. I mean, he raised from the dead. He raised other people from the dead. He healed the sick. And the Bible, and he himself said when he left, you guys are going to do a lot more than I did when I was here. But that's going to come through us knowing him. We're going to have to look at him. And how do we look at him? I want to bring up my wife Karina for a minute, a few minutes, to share something on that note with you.
I'm gonna take over your podium. Yeah, so I love to talk about intimacy. A little sidetrack, and especially after that worship, my friend Carla tonight. That was just so good. I just got so lost, and Carla is just such a Mary, and that's a little bit what I was going to talk about for a minute, so it's so good. Yeah, so on this journey of searching out, you know, what is the hope of my calling? What do you have for me, God? It's like there's really only one posture. There's only one position of privilege, you know, where... You know, where I know that I'm created for, where I know that I find my identity, there's only one place that takes precedence over any other calling, any other place, and that is sitting at the feet of Jesus. That has to be the priority. Sitting at his feet and just loving on him and pouring out my love on him in extravagance and letting him pour out his love on me and just gazing on his beauty. And just looking into those eyes of burning, passionate love, it has to be the one thing, you know, above the calling and all the, that has to be first priority. So Bill Johnson said, you can't go anywhere in faith, you know, in signs and wonders, unless you've first gone there in intimacy. So Mary of Bethany, she was a young single woman with no known ministry. She wasn't known in the courts of man, you know, in her lifetime, but she was known in heaven. So in Mark 14, just going to read this really quick. I like it in Mark. It says, Mark 14, verse 3, it says, while he was in Bethany reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar, a very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them at any time you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. So, and then in John, it also says that she took the perfume and she poured it out on his feet, and then she wiped the perfume up with her hair. And I love that. It's just so beautiful, and the fragrance just filled the house. And 1 Corinthians 11, we know that it says that a woman's glory is her hair, and so she poured out her glory in this humble act of service, and I just love that. So the perfume, many of you guys already know this story, but it was considered a year's wages, and it was her whole inheritance. So Ephesians 1, as Todd was saying, that you would know the hope of your calling, the riches of his glorious inheritance. So we're given this inheritance through our love and worship. We just give it back to him, and then he takes it, and the fragrance rises and it spreads. And I love this in 2 Corinthians 2. It's like so good. 2 Corinthians 2, 14, it says, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." And so Mary's ministry was just extravagant, wholehearted devotion to the Lord. That was her ministry. It was, you know, it wasn't an attempt to get attention, to say, look at me. It was her response to love. It was her act of worship. And that is how we are called to live, you know, in response to love. That's the hope of our calling. Another thing that I think is really significant about this story is that the apostles appealed to the serving of the poor as their reason to criticize Mary's extravagance, you know. And so Jesus uses one of the most significant ministries, he says, feeding the poor, to say that touching his heart at that moment was even more important to him than ministry or serving. I just think that's astounding. He values time spent at his feet so much that he said, "Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, I want what this woman has done to also be told." She was just this young, unknown woman, just not even known, not a teacher, not an apostle, not a scholar. You know, he said, "This is the message that I want conveyed. This is the message I want conveyed to the world, extravagant love. I want this message preached. Extravagant devotion to me. It may look like foolishness. It may look like a waste, but this is heaven's highest priority." So, I just want to read Psalm 27 for my very favorite scripture. "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in the temple." And it's so true. We have to see him. You know, like Todd was saying, we have to see him. Because if we don't see him, he does start to look like what we want him to look like. And we want to look like him. We want to reflect his image. So that's, for me, the hope of our calling is to sit at his feet first and foremost.
If we're not looking at him, then we're going to actually, our heart is going to long, because we are created to look at him and long for him. We really are. So our heart is still going to long. We're going to start going after false things. And eventually, if we're not looking at him, we're going to go after a false teacher like Muhammad or somebody. Seriously, you know what I mean? I mean, the Bible actually says that there's going to be a lot of Christians deceived. It's because of the ones that are not looking at Jesus. You know, really, we need to know Jesus. We'll be cool. We really will. And how else can we, if we can't physically see this man? Well, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John here that talks all about him. Check it out. I mean, go into it, read it out loud to yourself as a story and a true story. It is a true story, but read it over yourself with, you know, you don't have to play a soundtrack, but you might want to, or something, you know, more than just like, his head was on the table, but his disciples saw it. No, I mean, read it with life. This is about life. So read it with life. If you hear somebody reading you, you know, if somebody read you the story of how the Grinch stole Christmas and they're like, you know, so the Grinch came down to the village and took every crumb out of the house, even not enough for a mouse, you know, then you're not going to feel the story. You know what I'm saying? But get that dude who reads it, you know, on the old classic. What's his name? Boris Karloff. Yeah. And you're going to get in the story, you know? Well, we should look at this and read it with life, because that's what it is. And this is who Jesus is. He is exhilarating, you know, and he's totally out of the box. He is life. He came to give us life. He came to give us hope and a future. Thank you, hope. All right. Let's see here. Okay. Something cool in searching what is the hope of your calling is there's a lot of connection with unity in the body, too. This is a major thing. This is actually part of Jesus' heart. He came so we could all know him, right? And he wants us all to say yes. And I've found in studying this out, I've got pages and pages of notes here on unity in the body and how we're supposed to serve each other. I do want to go to Ephesians right now. Ephesians chapter 1. And then we're going to jump over to Ephesians chapter 4 just for a minute. Whoops. All right. This is one of my favorite chapters, favorite books. It's awesome. It's really great to pray over people. It's great to pray over yourself. This is awesome stuff here. And this is the truth. Okay, check this out. Blessed be the God and Father, this is verse 3, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That first verse alone won't make any sense to you if you're not starting to look at Jesus. Because you'll think, oh, I don't feel like I'm blessed with every blessing in heaven. Right? But if you start looking at Jesus, looking at the man Jesus, and say, yes, I want you to explode in my heart, then all of a sudden this is going to come alive to you and make more sense to you. It just will. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. We better start looking at him because we're his, right? It makes only that much sense. According to the good pleasure of his will, it is his good pleasure. He's not mean here. It's his good pleasure that he has us. I think that's pretty cool. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You slurp that up. That's good stuff right there. That's good news. Which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. He lets us in. There's secrets and mysteries. He's letting us in here. This is awesome. According to his good pleasure, again, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. It's all about in him. We got to be in him. We got to look at him. We got to be inside of him. We got to have him inside of us. When I grew up, I learned the prayer of salvation, you know, ask Jesus into your heart. Today, which is true, but today, I would teach my own kids, Oh, here's the prayer of salvation. I want it bad. I want you bad. I want all you got. I want all this, you know? Thank you. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works in who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Goodness gracious. Okay, this goes on and on and on. Verse 15, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, God loves faith. It takes faith to even look at him at all. And the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. That's not a big, hard task and an unattainable thing. All we have to do is say, yes! Man, you're fast learners. After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is where unity is starting to come in a little bit here. This is what we should be doing for each other. This is why I brought Hope up here. The woman Hope. Because for us to pour out is to do what Christ does. This is functioning in the functionality of Christ. The Father of glory may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And by the way, that if you look at this verse and it says you may know what is the hope of his calling, this word know here is intimate. Like they got married and he took her into the tent and knew her. That kind of know. Really. That you would know what is the hope of his calling. That you would completely own it. It would be yours. In you. All about you. Okay. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above. Check this one out. If you feel like you're bogged down by stuff around here and you're in Christ, this is what you get. Far above principality and power that might and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That is a power-packed verse or chapter right there. Eat it, consume it, eat it again. Keep eating that. I mean, really, you can stew on that for the next few years. And that right there, if you meditate on this and absolutely walk this out, you're gonna be transformed. You're not gonna walk around feeling defeated. And yet there's so much more. Okay. I'm going to skip over to Ephesians 4 here. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. And that's not a bad thing. That's being chained to glory. Beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And then it goes on to talk about spiritual gifts here. This is awesome, this first part of chapter 4 here to me. It's interesting too, and I'll just tell you a little revelation that was starting to come to me through looking at this. And I'll, as I tell the youth group, when I teach you something or share something, Go home with the Holy Spirit, the ultimate teacher, the teacher, and say, does Todd know what he's talking about? Really, I mean, you know, bring it to the Lord. He will enlighten you. But here's something I was getting from this. There is such a thing as also suffering in Christ. And that's not a very fun, popular thing to talk about. But it's also not what we think all the time. I'm gonna just share on that real quick. Okay. Like 1 Peter 4, verse 7, it says that the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer his hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. And if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever. And then it says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you have participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. This goes on and on, but here's what I'm getting together. This this is going to sound almost silly and maybe even sarcastic. And it's kind of funny, but I think God's really saying something about this here. Part of the suffering of Christ is just putting up with each other. I think. Do you see what... I mean, and check it out. God, I mean, Jesus came here. He was a perfect man. He was blessing everybody. He was doing only what he saw his Father do, and yet he was... accused. And I don't know about you, but that's one of the worst things for me. That's to be accused is, just does something to me. And it's hard for me, but I'm working on just letting that slide, you know? But then I think of him, like how was he able to go through that with people accusing him, you know? First of all, he is love. I mean, that's just first and foremost. He's love. God is love, right? A good buddy of mine was saying the other day, I was talking about this very kind of thing, like what if how was Jesus silent when people were accusing him? And you know, so many of us go through things where it's best to keep our mouth shut, even if somebody is just ripping you apart. And I was like, how do you do that? You know? And this friend of mine goes, well, Jesus knew who he is. And that sounds pretty simple, but it's very profound. And that is the same for all of us. If we know who we are in him, he knew who he was enough that even all this ridicule came against him. He knows how foolish it is. And they're not going to get it if he did open his mouth because they're not looking at him. They're not in him, period. So he might as well just keep his mouth shut. He knows who he is, and that's how he made it through. That's how he made it through. He knows who he is. And he knows what was on the other side. It was us. So if we're in him, like this is the hope of our calling, we are in him, then we're going to be the same way. I mean, my friend saying that to me, it was like, oh yeah, I want to be in him more. And is that the case? You know, can we be in him more than we were one day? You know, here's the deal. We can actually dig deeper and deeper and deeper. He's way big. And one of the ultimate messages you can preach is God is big. I mean, God is big. Jesus is big. He's bigger than we think. And there's always more. So we might as well dive in and become like him. There are other sufferings too. Of course, there are things that some people have had to go through for the sake of Jesus, and it's actually It's actually a blessing when you come out on the other side. And it's like in James chapter 1, it says, if you come through some trials, you're going to get stronger if you come through them rejoicing. You know, why would you be able to rejoice though? Because you're in Jesus, right? Okay. Sickness, that's not a suffering for Christ, actually. That was taken care of on the cross. That is just a downright attack against our bodies, and we are to just stand in Christ against sickness. You know what I mean? And the same with sin. But there are times when somebody will come against you because you serve Jesus. Like some of these kids going out to Hacienda, not every single story turned out to be like where everybody wanted to hear what they had to say. They had some rejection too. You know what I mean? And inside of us, when we hear somebody say no, you know, or you're weird, you know, that right there feels like a suffering on one level. You know, there's several levels, obviously. But the glorious price of even doing that and just smiling and going, I know who I am in Jesus, and I know he loves you still, you know, is it far outweighs the trial, whatever the trial is.
Okay, Todd's going to remember right where he was. I apologize for this announcement or for this interruption, but there's some cars that are parked in the Christmas tree lot. They can't close the gates now. And so if you did park your car there in front, right in front of the Christmas tree lot, you need to go move it right now. And in the future weeks, you can't park in that place. Park other places, but not right in front of the Christmas tree lot. Thank you. Oh, silver Honda Civic. Okay.
Okay. I just want to share another thought about this with you. No, I want to go back real quick to dealing with each other. There's to be unity in the body. And I just real quick want to share a story. I've shared it here already, but when Lonnie Ellis's son was really sick and he was in the hospital, we're all praying for him. And it was the day that he went to be with the Lord. Or the night before, and there was Elisa Ann was on Facebook, you know, starting to pray, and I was responding to her prayer, and a couple other people were, and then I would put something there, and the same people were responding, and we had this like massive prayer meeting going on, and I'm laying in the living room floor, just on this constant big prayer meeting and praying over Lonnie Jr. And I start getting drunk in the spirit, you know, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with me that this is a serious moment here, you know, why am I getting so plastered right now, you know? And I tend to be more of a quiet, you know, kind of a quiet person in our circle, not because I'm trying to be at all, I'm just a little quieter, I guess, but I'm just like in my living room, I can't even think, you know, I'm just getting, whoa, I'm laughing and I'm like, this is weird that I'm doing this. I felt strange. And the Holy Spirit told me the reason you're feeling me like this right now is because there's so much unity going on. He loves unity. And immediately I was taken to the thought of the upper room in second chapter of Acts. Same thing. They prayed in unity. Boom. Here he comes with fire. This is a major part of Jesus' heart. So if we are serving each other, if we're blessing each other, if we're singing psalms to each other or bringing dinner to somebody, feeding the poor, if we're honoring each other, we are acting in Christ. That's part of looking at Jesus. This is part of our destiny. That is a major part of the hope of our calling is to get together in unity. You know, and if somebody worships different than you do or has a different thought pattern on something, why don't just move toward unity and just start blessing them and see the treasures that they carry, even if you disagree on a couple things or something, you know, even if you majorly disagree. In fact, you know, even if somebody's got the craziest doctrine and you're going, how on earth, you know, you could slip so easily into a place of disunity, and of course, if you don't totally agree on, I mean, if you completely disagree on something, it's going to be harder. But just looking at Jesus again is going to bring you right back to a place where you can pray for that person. Not pray your own will, but just, God, you know, let him be in you. That's a good prayer for anybody. You're not praying your own thing on anybody else. Let them be in you. That's a perfectly legitimate, selfless prayer. And very valid. All right? Anyway, that's a major part of this. I just want to read a couple more scriptures here over you, and we'll end. I want so much to talk, so much more. I've got much more to tell you, but we're not yet able to stay here for a whole week solid. So I do want to say this. You are all so beautiful. You are. You're just awesome. I'm looking out and just seeing cool smiles and beautiful faces. And I could tell you guys do hang out with Jesus. You look like him. If you hang out with him, you're going to look like him. check this out. This is really cool. John 17:20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father. This is Jesus praying. Just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me. I mean, this is treasure stuff here. Okay? I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Do you see how much this is important to him? In them and I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. I'm getting to the coolest part to me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them. That's the part I really want to get to. Jesus is praying to the Father, let the love that you have for me, which you would explode if you could even begin to comprehend that love. Father, let the love that you have for me be in them for me. Oh, that that I myself may be in them. Oh my goodness. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6, it says, set me as a seal on your heart. This is a seal on your arm. This is putting a seal of him on us. On our heart is the place of love. On our arm is our ministry. Setting a seal of ultimate power, ultimate love on us. Song of Solomon is about us and Jesus. Oh, you can pray that over yourself. Pray it over yourself. I want you to be set as a seal on me, on my heart, and on my arm. Let the love that you have, God, for your son Jesus be in me. This is how you look at him, if you don't know already. This is how you start looking at Jesus. If you question, you know, I can't see the physical man, Jesus, this is how you do it. You pray to the Father these same things that he prayed. He's praying the same thing. This is powerful stuff. We're going to have a totally victorious life, no matter what comes. It's not every single day is going to be the perfect day, but when you go through some stuff on his behalf, you're going to be rewarded all the much more. You're going to live heaven on earth. This is glorious stuff. We're going to look like him. We're going to be bright and shiny ones. Do you guys remember that song, Shiny, Happy People Holding Hands? That's the I love that song. It makes me think of unity in the body because we're looking like him. So on that note, I wanted to have our ministry time where you're ministering to each other tonight. So what we're going to do instead of prayer lines tonight is have you guys stand up and go find like two or three people and just start asking for needs and pray over each other. And not just that, but declare destiny over each other. In the next several minutes, we're going to just play some music. But I want to pray over you first. Cool? Did this make sense? Okay, good. Heavenly Father, we pray what Jesus prayed. We ask you, God, put the love that you have for Jesus inside of us for Jesus so we can live out what is the hope of our calling. No matter what comes our way, we ask for you to do this. We join Jesus in this prayer. Put this love in us, God. We love Jesus already, but wow, the way you love him, God, let us love him like that. What a prayer. We ask this earnestly. We ask wholeheartedly. We ask with a huge yes. And God, I ask for everybody here that tomorrow morning they're going to wake up with a big yes. And the next day after that, and the next day after that, that will be the start of every day, God, what you have, the inheritance through Jesus, and that we say yes, that we are his inheritance too. And he said, Father, give me my inheritance, which is the people. So put a big yes. Help us to have a big yes, God. We want to say yes. God, I ask for you to woo every heart. I ask for places of intimacy. God, I ask, God, that even the ones here, the ones that are listening through the podcast, that think, man, I'm just so busy in life. How am I going to get away? God, that they'll start looking at you more and they'll see where to go. It's there. It's already there. The more we look at you, we'll see things uncovered. I ask, God, that for that. I ask for time to be revealed that we can spend being with you, being there for you, God, to be loved on by you. We're created by your breath to contain your breath. Thank you, Jesus. This is awesome news, and we say yes. I thank you for this joy you promised, God. Thank you so much. Oh, joy is peace dancing. And we just thank you, God, that there is this awesome joy that you offer us, God. All the fruits of the Spirit. We love you, Jesus. So, tonight, just start blessing each other. Gather in some groups and just start speaking destiny over each other. Listen closely. If you could put that track 2 on. But not too loud, and just start praying over each other, and kiss you. Good night.
One thing have I desired.